that we had to have snow for you today, but that was a special order. Yeah. You have the agenda. I'd like to add one item under correspondence, and that will be from Carol Clark Caterini, our secretary. Other than that, do we have any changes for the agenda? Seeing none, then I'll have approval by consent. The minutes from the March 23rd meeting. Are there any errors noted? Seeing none, approval by consent once more. And we're into business arising from the minutes. King's Clear Sustainability Study, we've decided that we will not need a further working meeting. We held one tonight, previous to this meeting, and we'll have the meeting where we make a decision on that sustainability study as well as tonight's meeting. So there won't be any working meeting beyond tonight. Do we have any comments or questions or concerns? Mark?
Just in terms of what was presented as three possible outcomes, it said status quo, recommendation to the minister to repair the school, or recommendation to minister for closure, moving the students elsewhere. Under that presentation, there was A, B, and C. One is closed and move students to a new Hanwell school. One is closed in June 2018. One is closed in June 2017. Madam Chair, I'd like the deck to consider, I guess I'd like to make a motion for the deck to consider that we remove option C, which means we don't consider closing the school in 2017. So I'd like to make that motion that we do not consider closing the school in 2017.
Are you seconding that, Heather? So, any comments? Conversation on that?
I just would like to clarify that motion. I think it's important for us to understand by way of procedure that that doesn't mean for any public that may be here or the press that in our May 4th, when we make a decision, we're asking David not to consider this as an option. I'm asking the DAC not to consider this as an option. But when it comes time to make any motions on the complete sustainability study, anyone is allowed to make a motion that they feel reasonable. So it doesn't eliminate that, but it just says if this passes, and I hope it will, that none of us are thinking that 2017 is a reasonable, possibility. So.
Question.
Just one comment to that before we vote, and that's that that's a concern of the community, and so it might alleviate some of their concern if we were to do that tonight. Question being called. All in favor of that motion signify. Do you have a question, Andrew? No. Okay. Trying to read your face. All in favor of that motion signify with aye.
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 Contrary-minded? Thank you. Motion is carried.
I have another comment.
I'm sure you do. Anyone else have a comment before Mark goes for this next one? Go ahead.
I would like to make a motion that we also remove closing the school in June 2018 from the future options we consider.
Are you seconding that motion? Moved and seconded by Sean. Did you have a...
Oh, no, I was seconding it. That's okay, Sean.
Sorry. comments? Concerns? Would you like to address it, Mark?
Sure, and I understand this is a little farther out, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty, and again, this motion removes it from the initial discussion and consideration now. It doesn't tie our hands. Any motion made later on would supersede any past motion, so it's a little far out, and I understand if anyone's concerned, but I'd certainly like the deck to consider that option as well. It narrows our focus to me, so.
I think it just gives a realistic picture of the options that we have. I mean, if they do go ahead with the Hanwell School, we still don't have any room for anything else, and that's looking at 3-4 years down the road, regardless, so.
Faith, do you have any questions on this at all?
No.
Okay. Ready for the vote?
Question.
All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded?
Aye.
Nay?
Nay. Contrary minded.
Thank you. And I would like to record my vote on that as well as being a nay. So, motion is carried. Anything further? Other questions? All of the things you have going through your head and issues that you have, remember that you can always contact the superintendent and ask for further details on anything that you think of between now and the 4th, and we will have opportunity at the meeting on the 4th to ask questions. That's the only item on the agenda. So, yes, Mark.
I guess when is the complete binder or package going to be ready for us to consider as a whole?
So right now on the district website under the Kingsclear Sustainability Study, we're building the binder. Traditionally, we would have it prepared for meeting number 3. My hope was this year to take an electronic approach and not come to that meeting with 12 big binders and be able to, you know, to pull up the reports as required. I could probably I'll start by giving an overview. I'll prepare an executive summary and I'll show how it's all laid out. However, if there are members that wish to have a binder ready for them, then we'll prepare it. It won't be complete that night because there are still some things we have to do following any decisions that are made that night. If the vote is for status quo, then we actually don't need to send a binder to a final report to the minister. We just have to inform him of our decision. If the vote is in favor of closing or in favor of repairing the school, then those go as recommendations to the minister, and we would need to send our full report to him.
With that, is there anyone here who would like to request a print copy of that document? Anything else? Okay, so remember, any questions that you have, you can always write before the date. So I think that's it on that for now, and we'll move on to the Carlton North High School theater name, and Andy has a...
So the PSSC held a public meeting where allow the public to attend and provide feedback on the proposed theater naming for the high school theater. There was overwhelming support for the naming that they proposed. They are now making preparations to name the theater after Walden Matthews, a long-time teacher and playwright who worked in that school for a great number of years. So that's what the theater
take action on our policy, Mark, on that?
I was just looking at it. So it says under policy GK 8. This is a letter from the PSSC with the recommended name must be submitted to DEC along with the public consultation results findings and the PSSC meeting minutes.
So a copy of those minutes will go out. They're in my hand.
So I guess the question is that something we have to rubber stamp tonight?
That's my question.
I want to say from memory, without taking the time to scan through all this now, is yes.
I think we have done so in the past.
Yes. Yeah. So it would come to us.
Okay.
We would vote on it to finalize it.
Can we do that now, or do we have to get these minutes out to everyone first?
We would have to get the minutes out.
Okay.
Is it a problem delaying till May, like as far as what they're planning? Or?
Okay. So we'll put that to the May public meeting and get these minutes out to everyone. Oh, I should have sent them out. Okay. They're not in my hands anymore.
We could post those for you in the next couple minutes if your wish was to complete the task tonight.
Could I just ask a procedural question? Is it that we are supporting the PSSC's decision, or is it the DEC approves of? I'm just.
So I think the policy comes from Provincial Policy 409, where it talks about the DEC having the authority to naming school rooms, and for example, theaters, libraries, gymnasium. So as a part of our governing process policies, we put some expectations in place. One was at least one public consultation meeting, and in this case it was held. One was the result of the consultation being made public at the PSSC meeting, which I understand was done that night, Andy? And the other is a recommendation from the PSSC, which was done that night. Then the letter is written from the PSSC to the DEC, along with the findings and the PSSC meetings, which has been done, is actually being photocopied for you right now. Historically, the DEC has made a motion to either approve or not approve the recommendations of the PSSC.
Well, it's easier to wait till May, but if you want to take the time to distribute the information for us to all consider it, I'm not opposed to that.
You said they were preparing to name, are they looking at a public?
There's been no dates discussed. No. They're going to prepare some signage and things, but there's no date to when they would put those on the wall or anything.
Well, maybe we should do it tonight so that they can go ahead with their signage. And yeah.
I guess that was my question, was if, are they assuming that we are rubber stamping it? Or, I mean, I can understand why they're choosing his name for that, so that's understandable, but do they know that it has to be approved?
They understand the process.
Okay.
I don't think any order has been placed for the signing.
Okay.
But it wouldn't take long to turn it around.
Yeah.
What would be your recommendation be? You've dealt with them.
Let's do it right now.
Okay.
So they're being...
They've been emailed.
They've been emailed.
And I'm going to post them on the portal.
Can you put it up there?
Have they been emailed to me?
Yeah.
Are they on the portal?
They're going there right now.
Okay, you put them on the portal and then I'll call them up.
Okay. I didn't even get the portal to work. So they're going to be underneath the calendar for I'm in there now. Should be doing that.
Okay. The power of technology right there. So this was a letter that was written to me. You can read it.
Can you enlarge it more?
Yes.
It's in your email, Heather, if you can
access
it. Well,
I know.
Oh, okay.
Depends on which one table.
On behalf of Carleton North High School, PSSC, it gives me great pleasure to write to you regarding the renaming of the theater at Carleton North High School, the March 28th public meeting to discuss the proposal to rename the theater was very well attended, and the group agreed unanimously to rename the theater the Weldon Matthews Theater. Ms. Jana Brennan, PSSC Secretary and Acting Vice Principal of Carleton North High School, has provided a detailed account of the proceedings and findings of the special public meeting and has included them with the minutes of our March 28, 2017 regular meeting of the PSSC of Carleton North. I trust we followed the proper protocol with regard to this project as set out in the correspondence from your office. Thank you very much for your assistance with this matter. Please feel free to contact myself or Dr. Ann Seneschal, principal of CNHS, if you have any questions. We look forward to a celebration when the project is complete. We hope that you'll be able to join us and experience firsthand the lasting impact that Mr. Weldon Matthews has had, not only on our school, but on the entire Carleton North community. And this is signed by the PSSC chair at Carleton North, Andrea McAloon Callahan. And then the PSSC minutes are also included. Including PSSC members present and regrets, other agenda items, and then a bullet here about public meeting regarding the possible naming of CNHS Theater, the Weldon Matthews Theater. It was held at 6 o'clock at CNHS, 24 people present. Andrea Callahan welcomed everyone, explained it had been proposed to name the theater after Weldon Matthews. In order to do so, we need to hold a public forum, discuss and establish whether there's any objection. Once we meet, we'll send a copy of our minutes and a letter to the deck. Diane Lord moved that the theater be named the Weldon Matthews Theater. Colin Smith seconded the motion. All present were in favor. The motion was carried. Susan Galbraith volunteered to head up the committee that would decide what the sign would look like. Megan Kelly made a motion that Susan Galbraith would establish a committee for that purpose, and Jane Hockett seconded the motion. The motion was carried. Some discussion about where the sign would be placed, inside or outside the building, and Seneschal said that she would look into see what the stipulations might be. And then the rest are PSSC minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
If I may ask Andy a question, so it sounds like it was a pretty smooth process. Do you feel like everyone was properly informed? If there would have been a huge crowd against it, were they even somehow left out? Or was
everyone was given a chance or opportunity to speak.
Yeah.
But there was no objection.
So I would entertain a motion to approve the...
I so move that we accept the Carleton North PSSC recommendation to name their theater the Weldon Matthews Theater.
I'll second that.
I have 4 seconders before you finish your words. Yeah. The first person to second your motion was Jane, but are you finished your motion
yet?
Yeah. Thank you.
Just write down the oil.
So you've heard the motion. Any questions, comments? Thank you. All in favor signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded, nay. Thank you. Motion is carried. Yes.
So to inform them, would you like for me to reply to Andrea McAloon or
Don?
In an official capacity, it's been done? Or, like, is it?
Done from, like I spoke about today, what we just did, and
okay.
Your copy.
Okay. So there's nothing for me to do?
I would say not. Unless you feel like you should reply to
that. Well, not if our deck member has replied.
That's great. Capital and major capital projects discussion.
So each year, the deck has a responsibility to approve a capital improvement project list, as well as a major capital construction list. That happens in May of each year as a part of the multi-year infrastructure planning process. Our facilities team has started working on it, started organizing projects, and they have their database in place. But this is just a time to continue the conversation. We started them already, to ask some questions of our facilities expert. Sean is here tonight as the Director of Finance and Administration. To talk about major capital ideas. Sean and his team are preparing something formal to present to you in a month's time. But I'm sure he, as well as I, would like to hear any questions or thoughts that you might have in the process.
I see Mark has a question.
I like to wait, but I have a question. Madam Chair, just if I may ask David, we had submitted a letter from Hubbard, and I'm just wondering if Sean would, I guess, have any explanation on that. As far as I've seen the area, I don't know really what it was, and I'm not sure what would be the plan, regardless of where it is on the list, if there could be any comment made on the, I guess, that concern.
So from that meeting, the decision was made to turn the letter over to me, and in turn to the facilities team, and they've included it in their conversations when it comes to prioritizing. It's my understanding that it was a look at the drop-off zone and the parking area for Hubbard Avenue Elementary School. Sean, is there anything further to
Well, actually, David, if I may, there was a washroom inside. That was one of them, but there was a bathroom inside, and then there was a whole area outside that I'm not sure what it was, but it's used for storage, and it's just...
I don't think that was part of the letter, though. Was it? I reviewed the letter today, and because I remember us having the conversation about the washroom.
That's what it was. They said there was going to be something else coming.
More to come.
That was
yeah.
The conversation. It wasn't.
So at this time, we've only looked at the
washroom renovation. It's a listed project on the capital improvement list.
That's already approved?
It's not approved.
Okay.
It's in the database.
It's already in the database.
And so through this process over the next month, it will be evaluated along with every other project to see where it will sit before it comes to council for consideration and approval of the snapshot of the list. The letter from the PSSC and the driveway drop-off issue, we had a look at that yesterday, and we had some ideas about how we could have students dropped off and create a pathway on the property, but we actually have to go visit the property and do some groundwork there to see where the best spot is, make sure that we put the path on our own property and not on D&D property. And we think that we should be able to do something there this summer to do that just as a summer project as opposed to a capital improvement project. So it'll be done as part of our regular process that we do for minor repairs, that kind of thing. Because it is you could argue, health and safety issue. So that's how we're looking at it.
So it's on the radar quite high.
Just for clarification, not on the letter, but in reference to the bathrooms, and I'm not sure if you're familiar specifically, Sean, but there is an area outside the bathrooms. What was that, and what could it be used for? Like, what are your thoughts, I guess?
Well, primarily right now, it's underutilized.
Right.
I was there, and it's sort of dark in there. You know, it could be used as, you know, potential for gym storage or community storage for...
What was that originally?
There's change rooms there.
Okay.
Yeah. Change rooms and there's washrooms. The washrooms are used a little bit by the school, but not really because they are ancient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no question that the area is underutilized.
Thank you.
So we will receive your potential list for us to review before our May meeting. Yeah. And then we'll have a chance at the May working meeting to ask more questions if you are thinking you should have had more questions with you tonight. Yes, Wallace?
Just another thing I wanted to bring forward tonight, and I believe David may have had an email on it. A couple of issues have come to note up in Sunbury West School. As everybody's seen in the paper, I guess, the destruction that was done at the field, but I'd like to recommend or commend the staff for doing such a good job that it's actually going to be fixed free charge by a contractor here in Fredericton, along with some volunteers. But having said that, they're also wanting the security system. I believe you might have got a letter on that.
Got one today, yes.
Okay. I met with the principal the other day over some of these issues, and they're also looking at maybe possibly wanting to have the field fenced if money could possibly. That would have, I guess, prevented what happened
sure.
if it had been fenced. So.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the cost is on that, but.
Those are two projects that I could understand would really be high priority for them. If we were to talk about those, we would see the fencing as a higher priority at this time than the security cameras. Where did we see Chipman? I think is where we saw the fencing go up, right, Sean? As a good example.
We did a partnership there, and the district partnered with the school. Sided fence there, and some of the West it would be a four-sided fence required, so
yeah.
A little bit more expense associated with the fence there, but it would prevent any further damage ever in the future. And the security system is an after-the-fact solution, so you can see who tore up the field, maybe if you're lucky, but they do have a security system at the school now. It is an older generation, and we'll look at what can be done to that in the future, but
right.
I would focus on the field.
Yeah, so Wallace, to go back to your question, I got the request, I forget if it was today or if it was last night.
It was today.
It was today, and it's my plan to sort of talk it through a little bit with more with Sean and to reply to the principal. And,
sure.
Yeah.
And I don't know, whether you guys want the name of the contractors that's agreed to do this free charge, or whether we need to publicize that or not?
Yeah, probably not at this time,
okay.
but we'll make sure that that there's appropriate recognition when the time is right.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Heather, do you have no?
No.
Okay. So, get your questions ready for a working session, and before the May meeting. Nothing further on that. Back in February, we were invited to attend a consultation with Diane Kay, who is our Director of Curriculum and Instruction, and Gina Dunnett, who is heading up our priority unit for we're moving ahead with the 10-year education plan. And Sean and I were able to attend that consultation, and we recently received a note back from Diane about that. Do you want to comment
sure.
on that, Sean?
Just like Kim mentioned, back on February 24th, we met with Diane and Gina. They followed up with us on April 4th. Just let us know that all the consultation input has been reviewed by the subcommittee of the Education Plan Implementation Planning Team and EECD staff. All the emerging themes have been shared with the full implementation planning team and will help form the recommendations going forward. The full recommendations will be prepared in April and shared with senior management in the districts and with EECD staff for approval. And the hope is to have the recommendations approved prior to the end of this school year, including how schools will be involved in the process going forward. So I guess my question from that would be, have you heard anything from them in terms of the recommendations that they're putting forward?
Not as of yet.
Will that be brought back to the deck once you...
If it's the wishes of the deck, for sure.
I would like that. Yeah.
We had actually talked one time about having Gina come and speak to the deck about the priority, so maybe that's something we can find time for. Mm-hmm. I really particularly enjoyed that consultation. It was nice to be able to sit and talk about all of those things that we sometimes don't get time for around the table, and I appreciated their asking for our input on the items and in that consultation. Under correspondence, Wallace, I have you down for the first item on the Burton Elementary School.
I'm not quite sure how far you want to go back on this, but I think, make a long story short, back in, I think it was January, February, the Burton PSSC approached the deck about making a presentation, I believe, in regards to an expansion and maybe a new build or whatever. I haven't seen any presentations at their meeting, so I'm not sure what they're working on. But, and you would reply, I guess, on behalf of the deck that our time between now and the end of June was tied up and that maybe we'd consider in the future, I think was the right word. So they took it upon themselves, I guess, to write a new email. And I'll just read it, but the Burton PSSC would like to take you up on your earlier offer. We'd like to come to present to the deck this October at the public meeting. Would this be possible? We are also still offering to host the meeting at the Burton School. Looking forward to hear from you, Burton PSSC. So I think the reason they wanted to do it in the fall is because we said we couldn't do anything prior to the end of June. So.
So basically my response to them is that we haven't set our schedule for next year and we haven't had a chance to look at what our priorities will be moving forward, and that we would probably try to do that in August or sometime prior to the startup of the next year. And that if we felt that a presentation from them would be helpful in our priorities moving forward, that I'd let them know. That's my response. And Carol.
On April the 5th, I received correspondence from Counselor Sheila Gallagher from Subdistrict 1 of her resignation from the District Education Council.
Thank you. The Education Minister has been informed of that resignation and that we would be looking at moving forward to fill that position.
Just out of curiosity, would that be filled through appointment, or would they actually do an election?
It will have to be filled through appointment, yes. Yeah. So it will follow the same process. We hopefully will be able to come up with three names that we can submit to the minister.
That's good for the first session. Okay, good. Thanks.
Do you have a strategy on how you would like to collect those three names?
Not yet. But tonight would be a good time to do that. Yes, Jane.
Would it be prudent for you or us to correspond with the PSSC chairs of all the schools in those areas and invite them to submit a name to us?
PSSC chairs or chairs and principals?
Yeah.
I agree. How would you like to do that?
I you read the letter she signed.
Carol writes the letter. He says he wrote it. Yeah, we will do that within the next few days and get that out there.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is that something that would, the if you're looking at PSSCs and principals, is that something that they would put out to everyone, and then the names would be submitted, and then the names would be filtered from there? Or are you just looking for actual, those small groups recommending certain people?
We'll ask them.
I'm just asking.
I think we would just ask them for names. Yes.
The other option, going along with, I think, where you were kind of maybe leading, Heather, was that if there is any form of a media up there, would be to put an ad in it that just says that interested parties could call you.
I just think all of the schools have newsletters and so on, but you could be talking about a very long process, which, you know, it would be good in one way, but then it makes it very difficult to come down to three names. So I was just curious. I didn't know how
difficult to come down to three names of people interested in the data.
We would have to establish a date when we would need those names. We don't have a need, but we do have a need, because that's a large area that is not represented. Yeah. So, do you have any plans?
Well, I think it would be good to have someone in place by September. And in order for that to happen, the minister has to have an opportunity to review the three names. And in order to decide the three names, you have to have an opportunity to review all the names that are submitted. So probably should have something by the end of May, maybe. Mm. And then for you to do your work in June to allow the minister to review in September, review over the summer in preparation for September.
Yeah, Mark?
You know, I'd like to see 30 days or end of May, whatever, but I mean, certainly the public has a right to know, because you don't have to be a parent, and certainly if principals can send it out to all parents, but if there was media, I know we've done up ads in the past, so it would be, I don't know the area that well, and I don't know how many newspapers or what it would cost, but, you know, certainly.
Edmondson, Grand Falls, Plaster Rock, and Perth Andover are our four cities.
You know, the main newspaper, I mean, we might not get, you know, community newsletters, but, you know, certainly I'd like to see us try our best efforts and find the public test.
Okay.
Mark, there'd be two newspapers, one French, one English. Just from the newspaper front. There'd be a couple of radio stations. I could do a digger deep, but a handful of radio stations, if that's what you want.
We've typically done newspapers and notify all the parents. And then we'll have to tear down the long list.
So are you okay if we just work through Jason and get that looked after? That's great.
Okay.
And you're all right with those dates? Okay. Good. Thank you. And we're now into new business. And I think this is yours, Sean. John Caldwell High School surplus property.
Some members on the council may remember John Caldwell School playground discussions probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And we were at a place where we were looking at tearing down the arena and giving a portion of property to the school. So it's taken that long to get to the point of where the arena's been torn down. And we've actually, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago with the town and with a representative from DTI that looks after land. Stephen LeBlanc came, and we met with the PSSC committee that's looking after the playground there, and had a discussion about the plan. And so the existing playground for John Caldwell is this little strip right here, and they have one older play structure on it, and it's very small, and they have around, I think now, just under 200 elementary students that utilize this small area. So the town has this whole area right here. It actually goes back even further towards the gulch, and there's a
fans and stuff there, but they've torn down the arena, and they have a plan for a community park in this area. But as part of that plan, they are encouraging the school to have this wonderful playground because it adds value to the community park, right? So this area here, this is the proposed new playground that the town owns this property right now, and they want to give us this in lieu of this. So it's approximately double the size, and it allows for a really great playground to be constructed and also future room to grow if they wanted to add more pieces of equipment. So the school has already taken steps to send in their playground information to be tendered, and so they're ready to go on this. But we through our process, we have to declare the surplus in order for DTI to move forward to say, okay, town of Grand Falls, we can indeed do this. The builder or the land user has said, yes, we're okay with giving that up in lieu of this property. So it is a really good thing for the school community and the town as a whole for council to consider doing this evening. So I don't know if you have any questions for me.
And I understand that at present the students have to cross the street to the playground, which is closed.
Yeah. So the school is actually situated right here. So currently the students at recess and noon hour have to come out here, cross the street, which the school barricades. So they have barricades that they drag out there twice a day to put in place for the kids to come out here and play for the elementary. And the middle school actually play. There's a large ball field there that middle school kids go out and do some field sort of sports in this time of year.
They will continue with that middle school.
Yes.
Yeah.
We keep the field.
We don't own the field. It's actually owned by the municipality, but they allow us to use it as part of the reciprocal agreement that we have for community use there. So it's tied in with that, along with the ability to use the street for unloading and loading of students. Because this is also the bus loading zone. So right now the bus comes around the school, comes through here, and up here. So future plan would be the buses would come down here. There's a parking lot here that's very large for a tourist spot called La Rochelle, which is another access to the gorge. So during the school year, it's underutilized. So buses come down, turn, and come back up and load. So there's no disruption to the school by putting the playground there. And kids would be able to exit back to school right onto the playground. And when the community park is built, they have plans for it's called a push park. So if kids have a bicycle or a scooter, it gives them the ability to go through the park with very little energy, I guess, associated. It's a really good opportunity for a little school that has had no playground there. I can test all four of my children have attended this school, and they played with what they had. But future generations will have a much better outlook.
Looking questions? Anything? Yes, Mark?
What does the town plan to do with that large parcel we want to trade?
They haven't really said what their actual plans are. They've had some discussions around possibility of putting changing rooms there for field sports. So they have an active softball league in the town of Grand Falls. And currently they have to changing their vehicles. So that was one of the ideas that they talked about, is building that. So it does give them some flexibility. They also have plans for a splash park next to the pool. The pool currently over here for the town. So somewhere there they're going to construct a splash pad. And you've seen those in other communities around the province. Nice one.
Yes, Heather.
I'm just through you to Sean. Sean, you know that area really well. So is there any downside to
this
for
is
us?
No. You know, it's there really isn't. It's for a school that was built like essentially right in the middle of town with no property, this is a really good change for them.
I'll move the motion to do this.
Jane is moving the motion that we approve the transfer or whatever we have to do here.
Declare the land surplus.
Yeah. I'll second. And you're seconding the right motion?
Yes. Yeah. I'll send you the actual PID information, Carol, so you can include that in the notes, just that it's PID, whatever, because they need that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. That sounds great.
Could we
vote on the motion, please? all in favor. Oh, did you have a question?
No.
No. All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
Contrary minded, nay. Thank you. Motion's carried. And we'll all go for the grand opening.
Yeah.
No. On April the 6th, we had I convened a special meeting of the Anglican School District West DEC in Woodstock. And at this motion, the DEC passed two motions. The first one was that after a review and investigation, the Anglican West School District Education Council has determined that former Councillor Sheila Gallagher acted in violation of the ASDW DEC's Councillor's Code of Conduct, DEC Policy ASDW GP5, and a written complaint of misconduct made under the code was founded. And a second motion was passed that pursuant to paragraphs 5.4 and 5.5 of the ASDW DEC's Counselor's Code of Conduct, DEC Policy ASDW GP5, and the ASDW DEC's determination of misconduct on the part of former Counselor Sheila Gallagher, the ASDW DEC hereby declares that Ms. Gallagher has acted willfully or negligently in contravention of the Education Act because of Ms. Gallagher's failure to exercise her duties under the Education Act in good faith. So we'll read those two motions into the minutes of tonight's meeting. And we're moving on to superintendent monitoring reports.
Thank you. As I call them up, as always at this time, I'd like to thank and acknowledge and introduce our staff that are here tonight. We have five directors joining us tonight. It's always good to see a good crowd come out. So Jay Kolbitz is the Director of Schools for the Woodstock Education Center. Tanya Whitney is the Director of Schools for the Oromocto Education Center. Karen Morton is the Director of Human Resources. Sean Tracy, the Director of Finance and Administration. And Jason Humphrey is the Director of Communications. So we're glad they're here this evening. We have three superintendent monitoring reports this evening. Is there an order? The first one is ASDW ER3. And that is our report on school culture. And we report on it once a month. As you can see, I get a lot of help in putting this report together. It's a report where the policy calls for our district to foster an inclusive school culture that promotes a passion for learning among students and staff, with priorities including partnerships, celebrations of success, and student voice. You'll see that I talk a little bit about the community schools program and our FTE associated in that program, and those are very valuable positions. We also have a number of partnerships with various community organizations, local universities,
special service and community groups. You'll see a little bit later in the appendices some of these relationships. We certainly see some great partnerships that are curriculum specific as well. Partnerships in the area of physical education and health, fine arts and enrichment, and technology and skilled trades. By the way, if you're in Fredericton here on Saturday, FHS is hosting the skilled trades competition. It's a provincial competition with the winners having the opportunity to represent New Brunswick at a national competition. We do offer student voice as well. We want to make sure that we hear from our students. And there are opportunities through formal opportunities through various surveys where we can get feedback. I think in particular of the high school exit survey, the Tell Them For Me survey, and surveys surrounding areas of personal health. Again, I'll show you a little bit later here in the appendices those specific initiatives. We need to make sure that we manage our health and safety in schools, and we have the mandated site-based committees that are in place with the regular reporting and professional learning. The facilities team is continually addressing concerns that are raised in an effort to ensure workplace safety. Always striving to ensure we have a positive learning and working environment. And we have, of course, school positive learning and working environment plans. It used to be just called the PLEP plan, but now that we have working in there, the acronym doesn't roll off the tongue as easily. But we have a number of district-based and school-based activities that support that positive learning and working environment. In fact, I have an obligation each year to submit an annual report, as noted in the Education Act, and this monitoring report and an appendix that follows serves that purpose. So there are a variety of different dependencies, and I trust that you've either had a chance to look at them already, or perhaps you will in the days ahead. But we have our Appendix A here, which speaks specifically about the Community Schools Program. You'll note that we had 171 activities, over 10,500 volunteer hours, and a total program value of about $386,000 when you incorporate volunteer hours. So some very interesting information about community schools. Some sample projects that are going on in our community schools programs as well. Our community partnerships in curricular areas, I think specifically, or mentioned specifically, our partnerships with the Learning Partnership. And you might remember that I'm actually on that National Board of Directors. The Learning Partnership is responsible for programs such as Welcome to Kindergarten, Take Our Kids to Work. Those are the ones that you hear about the most. But we also are involved in the Turning Points program and Entrepreneurial Adventures, as well as Investigate, Invent, and Innovate, or it's called I3. Great relationships with our universities, University of New Brunswick in particular fosters continued professional learning and positive relationships. Science East, Medexnicaid River Association, I could go on and on and probably spend hours talking about this report. I mentioned that there's some specific curricular areas where we have a number of initiatives. In physical education, you'll see as I scroll through a large number of partnerships and initiatives, phys ed, and in health, and in fine arts, and in enrichment. It's really quite rewarding to see all of these activities and partnerships listed, as well as technology and skilled trades. Here's the student voice that I talk about. As I use the word tell them for me, that the official name of that survey has actually changed. It's called the Our School Survey that measures factors that are known to affect academic achievement and other outcomes. The wellness survey, that's where we ask kids about practices in the four pillars of wellness: healthy eating, physical activity, tobacco, free living, and mental fitness. And then our grade 12 exit survey, so some wonderful data. And then, of course, this is, as per the Education Act, the annual report on the positive learning and working environment. So some important information that outlines initiatives, strategies, data, all in the name of ensuring that we have a positive learning and working environment in Anglophone West. So, once again, I encourage you to read through the report, spend some time with it. If you have any questions, by all means, feel free to reach out to me. And if I can't answer them, I know that the appropriate district staff would be happy to sit with you and go through it, go through your query specific to that conversation.
Sean.
Good question. I was looking at Appendix A. I think, first of all, congratulations to, you know, the staff within these schools at the DEC. I think it's great that you're getting such a good turnout. Volunteer hours of over 10,000. And I think what struck me most is how you're getting almost equal participation between parents, staff, and community members at large. They're all coming out in the same kind of level of numbers. So I think that speaks to the engagement that, you know, your schools are having. I guess as the first time, as a new DEC person, it's the first time I'm seeing this. So are those numbers comparable historically to last year or to other years? Are you seeing?
We would have a similar report that's available to you online. I remember, I'm sorry that I don't have that information at my fingertips. I seem to recall when it comes to volunteer hours, and when it comes to financial contributions, that one of them was up and one of them was down. But it wasn't earth-shattering by any means. But I have to go back and look at the similar report from last year. It's available online.
I was just curious.
Yeah, I asked myself, and I should have noted it for myself so I'd remember, but I do recall it was either the volunteer hours or the financial that was up or down a little bit, and the other one was the opposite.
Yeah. And sort of one follow-up question. As your resident bean counter, how do you come up with the $15 value for your volunteer? Is that a provincial standard?
I think it's just an arbitrary value that was provided by our coordinator, the program lead. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yes, Heather.
I think this definitely shows the value of the community school coordinators. And is that something, a program that you see those people being slowly eliminated, or do you see that it would, I truly see the value in that, and
yes,
that we could probably use more.
We see a plateau, so it's not being eliminated, but it's not growing either, and it's been this way since amalgamation, since before amalgamation. We've chosen just to keep it right at the level. We know that our province isn't offering any more FTE or officially designated schools that would get FTE, but we have been continuing to foster the positions that are currently in place. I can say that in the Carleton North area, the two officially designated schools are Centerville Community School and Florenceville Elementary School. And for the first time this year, we've expanded that to include the Carleton County catchment area, the Carleton North High School catchment area. So that's opened the door to schools like Bath, Bristol, Florenceville Middle, and the high school. And it's been positive. Yeah, in fact, it was a little bit awkward, and Jay might be able to talk a little bit more about it. It was a little bit awkward at times before when it was just those two schools, because it was, when you were in the community, it was hard to just to separate the whole school community in Sub-District 2, really. It's Sub-District 2.
I don't have anything else to add. It was difficult for Valerie to do the work just between two schools in two different communities, because you have the art gallery who would like to work with everybody. She said, well, I'm only supporting these two schools, but now she's supporting everybody. So it's been, the communities have really, in the area have really appreciated it. So we're glad.
Yes.
It was an easy transition for Valerie.
Mark.
Of course, we all know, even without a community school designation or community coordination, there's a lot of incredible things going on in a lot of schools by volunteers and staff and everyone, so certainly I recognize that. But obviously, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with Heather and others that this program is an incredible program, and it more than pays for itself. And, you know, I would echo, as I've been since it was created, that this needs to be expanded. It just, you're just getting, there's just so much value there. You know, we're getting so much for so little, and I hate to say that, because, you know, these people are volunteering, and it's just adding so much value to the school. Even though we know there's a lot of other things taking place at other schools, to have a coordinator, I wish every school had some FTE, and I know it's not that simple, but if the government can hear the echo from, you know, we would get a lot of value, you know. I mean, we'd get a lot of value. You know?
Thank you. Okay. Employment, compensation, and benefits.
So this is DEC policy ASDWEL3, again, reported on once a year, with great thanks to Karen Morton, the director of HR. And the policy calls for us to ensure we respect and comply with government acts and regulations and collective agreements in all responsibilities concerning employment, compensation, and benefits. We're just shy of 3,000 permanent FTE. That's a September 30th, 2016 number. And an appendix will show you the breakdown. It's actually an appendix that we've pulled from the summary statistics presented by the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, which was recently released. If you want to compare our 3,000, part two, which is the school system, part two of government and seven school districts, has 13,333 permanent employees as of December 31st, 2015. Part one, which is the traditional civil service for government, has 8,389 employees. And part three, which is the health part of government, has 16,514 employees. So that just shows a comparison. Within our 3,000 employees, there are five collective bargaining units. Of course, the Teachers Federation would perhaps be the biggest one that we have, but there's the Canadian Union of Public Employees, Local 1253, which would include bus drivers and maintenance repair workers and cleaning staff. The Canadian Union of Public Employees, Local 2745. So this would include education assistants, administrative assistants, district administrative services, school library workers. I may miss a few positions along here. New Brunswick Union of Public and Private Employees, professional support group, social workers, school psychologists. The Public Service Alliance of Canada, PSAC, this is the newest bargaining unit, actually, and includes facilities managers, transportation managers,
Budget and accounting.
Budget and accounting.
IT.
And IT, information technology staff. And then we have the management and non-union group, which would include directors and superintendents and human resources officers. We don't belong to a union or a collective bargaining unit. Although we would have policies that govern our benefits and work conditions. There are appropriate benefits that are outlined, obviously, through the various collective agreements. Benefits such as sick leave, maternity leave, vacation, pensions and insured benefits, health care. They're managed by our district in accordance with the requirements that are identified by government as a whole. A family assistance program is in place. It's called In Confidence. We continue to have an attendance management program. It's called In Education, Every Day Counts. We also have, when it comes to hiring, you have a DEC policy that we'll actually mention here not too long from now, the district hiring process, and where this policy provides for random samples of competition files to be reviewed and to ensure compliance with collective agreements. There's a grievance process, and so each of those collective bargaining units would have staff that represent the membership within their union, and there is a formal grievance process outlined in each collective agreement. If issues can't be resolved, the union and the employer, either informally or formally through a grievance process, we could see them go all the way to an adjudication, which is a binding decision made by an adjudicator. And there's some data that I'll present in the appendix about provincial look when it comes to adjudications. I can actually tell you that right now we currently have an adjudication that's underway. We're in the middle of an adjudication that I'm participating in, as well as the Director of Human Resources and a Human Resources Officer. We also have one that's pending for August. Of course, being a school system, we have to have casual employees as well. You know, if a teacher is sick, somebody has to be there in front of the children. And we use an absence management system to secure casuals. Thought I had the number. 1,200, approximately 1,200 casual employees in our system. When it comes to the contracts, you may have heard in the media that that the New Brunswick Teachers Federation have recently voted in favor and ratified a new collective agreement that will be signed in May. When we look at the others, the QP 1253 was signed in 2016 and expires on February 28, 2018. You'll see the other dates there as well. For QP 2745, we're looking at 2019. For NBU PPE, June 2018, and for PSAC, September 2019. So 2018, 2019, we're going to see two for contracts that will launch into negotiations. I'm pleased to let you know that our district in particular has really good relationships with our with the union leadership, and we can get a lot resolved in an informal way. We don't, although we do see from time to time things go through the formal grievance process, we get a lot accomplished in an informal manner, finding resolution. Thought if I pressed right-clicked, I could rotate it.
You need to download it if you want to rotate it.
Pardon me?
We'll need to go up to the top corner and download it.
No, this corner first.
What do I have to
download
do?
It.
Download.
They're not just a bean counter.
I'm not holding that down, am I? Yeah. Thank you. Rotate clockwise, and then because I know that question won't come.
So this information actually comes from the summary statistics that were recently produced. In Anglophone West, we have, you can see here, 1672 teachers, plus the directors and subject coordinators and superintendent. As educators as well, taking us up to just shy of 1,700. And then in the next chart, you can see we have our administrative and educational support, as well as finance and administrative services, and facilities, labor trade services, the professional support group, and some other categories. That's what takes us to our 2,968 employees. So now I need to go back to, I have to go all the way around, won't I? Some interesting provincial workforce numbers. Remember, part one is the traditional civil service. Part two is education. Part three is health. So you can see permanent employees, temporary employees. Certainly in education, there's a big number there. And then finally, referrals to adjudication. Grievances withdrawn or settled, and adjudication decisions rendered. You can see in part two, we're significantly lower than the other parts of government. So that's my report on employment, compensation, and benefits.
Questions? Thank you. Numbers are overwhelming.
So the last monitoring report as a part of our planning cycle in the April meeting is our report on asset protection, EL5, again support from director colleagues as well as a management team. This is the policy that calls for me to ensure that our assets are protected and adequately maintained. We have some very important responsibilities to protect our organization, and we do so. A very competent team of human resources personnel and financial and committed facilities and transportation staff, led by our directors of HR and finance administration. We do have our own district operational policy on professional conduct, ASDW 250-16, and there's an important statement within that policy that says individuals shall show proper care and regard for the property of the Crown, utilizing resources for the purpose of carrying out our ASDW business. There are other expectations within this policy as well, and I've included it in an appendix. But this is really the policy where we have to go through the series of statements that confirms we are protecting our organization, and that's listed in Appendix B. So here's our professional conduct policy. And then here is our statement with respect to asset protection. So you can see there's some statements under the umbrella of facilities, how we protect our organization, the area of capital improvement, maintenance management, elevators and fire protection, control systems and play spaces and security systems, health and safety and water, indoor air quality and oil tanks and cathodic protection testing. We have our asbestos management program, roof inspections, pressure vessels, commercial and domestic equipment. So that's a look at facilities. When it comes to human resources, the two protection expectations that come out most often would be ensuring that anybody who has unsupervised access to students have official training and sign-off in Provincial Policy 701, which is the policy for the protection of pupils, as well as a criminal record check. And of course, we want to provide job-specific training. We have harassment in the workplace policy and conflict of interest policy. There's a little bit of overlap with the monitoring report that I presented last month as well on staff treatment. When it comes to financial, you can see some specifics here respecting provincial policy, and including financial responsibilities and purchasing, tendering, annual reports, and our financial team is really busy now tidying up the work that's associated with year-end. And finally, transportation, keep our buses safe and in operable condition. Qualifications for drivers, they're kept up to date as well. Rules of conduct for students on the bus, and communication has been improved with two-way radios installed on all our school buses. So that's the asset protection report that we present once a year.
Yes, Mark.
So I guess a discussion about the sports field that was damaged and talking about fencing. Is that this kind of part of that when you look at it and say that's an asset, or is that just something totally different?
I suppose that's a good point. Yes, I mean the field belongs to the school. It's school property. It's an important part of the school property, and one hopes that just because there's not a fence there that the property would be okay, but as we saw in this particular case, at this particular time, it didn't work out that way. The concept of a fence, we talked about it a little bit at this level, and we think it's a good investment. We have some fine details to go through before we can confirm that that's the direction we want to go. We've had some great community support, and it got a lot of attention, of course, with through the media, and a community that's very interested in seeing the field repaired and back to normal.
Now, kind of on a different question, do we carry any type of insurances or...
Right. I believe the answer is that the province is self-insured. Is there a better way to describe it, Sean?
No, that's it.
Right.
And so as a result of that, there are certain things. They basically have enough funds or access to funds to cover losses for fire, flood, whatever. So I guess in relation to that, there are things that kind of aren't covered, and although you're doing everything you can to make sure a building's safe and it's not going to flood or fire, I'm thinking of libraries, for example, with their books. Because we had an incident a few years ago, and then they had to raise money for books again, which I feel is really unfortunate, and it's this system. But is there other things like that that are affected by this system, if you will?
Of self-insurance?
Yeah. That's the only one that comes to mind. I don't know whether playground equipment.
Well, I guess our experience, we experienced a flood in Perth Andover just prior to amalgamation. There would have been considerable loss there, Sean.
Yeah, considerable loss.
But the government will come in and cover most losses, but they don't cover
the government provided coverage for a portion of it, and then of course they went, there's applications for federal assistance that were processed as well, but we were able to recoup a lot of the monies that were spent at the district level as part of the flood, you know, the replacement of equipment and things like that as far as building systems and stuff. Education and DTI took care of the expenses associated with those, but when it came to, you know, putting new computers in labs and things like that, we had to track all those expenditures and then submit to DTI, who then submitted to the federal government for consideration in funding that. So.
Other questions? Thank you, David. ASDW GP10, Jane and I will make arrangements to meet, probably Karen, sometime in the very near future, and we will report back to you in May on that. That's the policy David referred to where we will go over some random hiring. Committee reports. Mark, you're on.
So, I guess two quick things. We had talked about a new format for writing policy. So, I guess my question to the chair is, I know in that discussion, was absent. Have you informed us of our pilot project so that he would be expecting me?
Have I informed him? No, he's just going to be told to do it.
All right. Yeah. So, and I guess it goes back for those that weren't able to be at a working session to our training in governance and how to write and specifically monitor policy. So we wanted to take a policy or two and play that right out. And that involves the superintendent's interpretation and then monitoring based on that interpretation. So we'll be getting together, I guess, is what
I saw that in the notes. And
okay.
I'm just, I'll wait for word.
Okay, good.
I want to echo Jane's comments of that night that the explanation you gave us just made a whole lot of mud a lot clearer, and I'm looking forward to that. Thanks.
Okay. And I guess the other thing is there's been a travel policy that has been carried over, and we've had discussions back and forth. So, you know, I've had nothing to add. I have no idea what else we can come up with. So, you know, I've sent it to the chair for the deck to consider, and she sent that to everyone. So I guess that's all I've got to say, so I'll turn that part over to you.
Okay. I know that you didn't have much time to have a look at it. Are there any questions or any suggestions? Do you want to?
There's a couple of points on page 2 in the appendix where the word is, it's an incorrect word. In the second one down, consider the difference between attending a PSSC meeting and a holiday concert. Is the DEC member activity, it should either be actively or take the ING out, one or the other. I would say actively is what it should be. And then two more down is there a formal request? Just take the S off requests.
So my question of you is, do you want to look at this now? Do you want to put it off to a motion and a consideration for the May meeting? Are you ready to move forward with it tonight? You ready to go? Okay. So I'm willing to entertain a motion. Mark?
I would move that we adopt the travel policy GP11 as presented with the corrections.
Yes. And Jane wants to second that. So do we have any conversation about this at all? Sean?
So just go and look at the purpose. It talks about the guidelines and our rules, and there should be some flexibility. And I get down on page 2 for Appendix A, gives some events and questions to consider. Well, I'm just curious. I know at previous meetings we talked about clarification to the DAC members if they understood. So should we not articulate examples of PSSC meetings would be kind of blanket approval of 409 meetings, blanket approval, and then say holiday concerts or whatever the example could be requires prior approval, so we're not in a situation where somebody's submitting a claim after the fact and then we're having to sit there and have that challenge again on should it be, shouldn't be.
So am I hearing that you would prefer that we answer these questions or make them a statement rather than a question?
Right.
I don't fully understand what you're saying.
So instead of saying, ask yourself whether you're representing the DEC at this meeting, say if you are not representing the DEC at this meeting, it's not appropriate for...
And where is that and where would that change?
Appendix A.
On your list of questions to ask.
Okay. So are you representing the DEC at this meeting, which you would change that?
Well, so you talk about meetings, PSSC, or holiday concerts are the example. So if you go to a PSSC meeting, you might just sit there and not actively comment or participate, but you're there, you're observing. It's a activity that's relevant to the operations of the district and by default to the council. But if you go to a holiday concert and just sit there and enjoy the music, should that be blanketly approved or denied? I just think that before we had discussions around after the fact getting approval for things, I just think that would help if we detailed out some examples what would be kind of the expectation rather than just what you're choosing to attend to.
So my question, Madam Chair, if I may, is this policy good enough to adopt now? And I would ask that of my council member, Sean. And then, because I hesitated as a policy committee to work on yet another policy because we've had a hard time getting approved. So is this policy good enough to adopt now and then send to the policy committee to tweak with some of what Sean is saying? And I'm wondering if that would satisfy Sean's concerns. So we have something on the books and then we can tweak it and bring it back.
Are you all right with that, Sean?
I'm not sure I understand Mark's story. I don't think it's detailed enough to approve. I think we should still work on it in a draft form before it's approved, but that's just my opinion. So if you want to make a motion, we can vote on it. That's okay.
Okay. So that's your comment on the motion at my hand. Heather?
I felt, just for me, it provided me with more clarity. The questions helped me. Because I think when I attend a PSSC meeting, I am there as the DEC representative for that sub-district, and I'm introduced in that way. So when chances are I don't have anything to say, but I know that that is how I am being perceived as in comparison to a holiday concert or a Christmas dinner. I'm not there as a DEC person, so I just felt that these questions, whether they're in a question form or if they're in a statement form, I just thought they were very clear to me. So when I looked at what my role was, I could see things that I do very clear in there. So I was really okay with what you had come up with.
If someone else, Terry, was it you?
Yeah, yes, because we're, as a DEC, usually given all the graduations. They're sent out to us. And I just assumed when I was first on the DEC that, you know, that means I should be going to the graduations.
Okay, now there's a difference between whether you should go and whether you should expect that your travel costs will be covered.
Okay,
right?
I know.
Yes. Definitely, there are a lot of things that you should go to, but you should not maybe expect your travel costs to be covered for all of them. So just
wanted to put that in there before you go forward.
Because there's Christmas concerts, we were always sent the, like for our district, we were sent all the dates and times and everything for the Christmas concerts. And, you know, like I personally made special arrangements to make sure that I got there. And I mean, I didn't have any kids in the schools or anything. It was just, and I went. And I thought it was an important part because we are, sometimes you're recognized by the principal or whatever as a deck member and be announced. But I think we sometimes have to be seen as being interested in what's going on in the schools as opposed to going in to do a 409 or something and always being, you know. So that's, I'm not looking at it. I mean, that's, yeah. I was just addressing them because both people are that way.
Sean.
So I think she made some really good points. I guess that ties into what I see is still vagueness or confusion. So if you look up on page one under purpose, it says these are guidelines, not rules. So when you go down, you can ask yourself the questions, but if they're just guidelines, you can say, well, no, but I should still be reimbursed because I, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that it's not a, you're right, the questions are good, but where it says it's a guideline and you can have flexibility, I think that still leads to some of the confusion that we've seen in the past with claims and whatnot.
And just as a follow-up, maybe it's my newness to this committee that I didn't get invited to Christmas concerts. I haven't gotten any graduation invitations either, but it should only be one. But I guess I've been invited to PSSC meetings, and so that would be my issue with the whole thing is I haven't had what you have had. So my lack of experience, maybe that's, well, that changes my perspective when you speak about that, because I can understand
and
where
I,
you're
and,
coming
and somebody
from.
Told me last year that it was because of we can't campaign. Well, you know, like as if, you know, get to know everyone because you want to be elected again. You know that, and
really?
That, yes, I was told that, and that was, you know, that was one of the reasons for not, you know, considering it a deck activity. So, but I think our role is more than just sitting at these meetings and sitting at the PSSC meetings. I think it's to know your schools, to know their staff, to know, you know, some kids, and raise our profile as a deck and a group that's interested in the education of these kids. So the more parents I meet, you know, the better. And they can ask me questions there. That's a personal opinion. And, you know, like...
The problem with that would be how it lines up with our and the provincial policies. And I think that's where your difficulty will come in. I'm not sure that you were ever told you couldn't campaign. I think the
well, that was the word that was used. It wasn't you.
I think the comparison is that question number two under consideration says it for me. Will your participation at this event appear on a DEC agenda or be discussed at a DEC meeting? To me, that's a good question to ask if you're talking about whether the DEC should pay your way to go to activities. And I haven't received the invitations to go to the Christmas concerts. I've gone to some of them, but I consider that as part of what I want to do, not part of what my duties are as a DEC. So graduation is a little different, and you haven't been around for graduation. So you will receive notification from our secretary of when the graduations are. And that will be, if you attend, then you will be there representing the DEC at that. But maybe we need to put this off, talk about it again at our session. I would prefer that we have it in place and, like Mark says, firm up the, no?
We have a motion there.
I know. I'm just speaking to it. I just think that
that we need to have something. Anyway, what we have, what we've worked with since September is working, and I'm willing to continue with that for one more month if that's the wish of this body. So we have a motion to approve this as our travel policy.
Question.
Question being called. Everyone spoken that needs to. All in favor, signify with aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary minded, nay.
Nay.
Thank you. Motion is carried. And Mark, will you take that back to your policy committee and look at those questions and maybe involve the people who had questions about it. The other policy that you were sent out to me and asked to look at in terms of us adopting it is the sexual orientation and gender identities policy. It says draft 2 on it. That's because the Council of Deck Chairs had worked on it, and this was the second draft they came up with last year after receiving input from councils. Last year, I think I've mentioned to you before, the deck of the time voted or did not choose to bring this forward as a motion to adopt as one of our deck policies. And I would like the deck to consider it again. Once more, I am looking for some direction from you. Are you prepared to look at it, vote on it tonight, or would you prefer it be put forward to May?
I just still have some questions about, like I can read this, I understand this, but I'm just wondering why there should be a deck policy when there's policy 703 and how those mesh together. I guess I'm just still, I'll plead ignorance and newness.
One of the benefits to having a policy is that it's a clear indication for the members of the LGBTQ community that we have an interest in supporting their rights. So that's one thing. It's there. It's out, and it's public that we are not just following all of the policies that protect their rights that are in place by government and by district, but we are. We have our own policy that speaks to it as well. So that's one thing. For me, the second thing is the self-identification and freedom of expression issue. That just saying that out there is a good thing to do for those students.
I guess I didn't consider that because we didn't have, the deck didn't have a policy that was sending a message.
Well, we have been contacted by a couple of parents who are interested in us having a policy. Don't know if that.
So what is their, sorry, I'm continuing to talk, but what are the concerns of the parents that are not, I guess I'm still trying to figure out what's not in policy 703 besides just the matter that the DEC has a policy and here it is. And this is really, it's totally knowledge based for me because I really am trying to learn.
Jane?
I have a couple of comments. One, is this travel policy we just did, is that the new format?
No, compared to what we have in here?
Compared to, based on the new information or the new education we have. Is this the...
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I would say that if it was, then we would want to put this in the same format probably before we vote on it. And second, I would say, Heather, to your comments that the province has a policy on everything including travel, and we just passed our own travel policy. So, you know, we have a lot of policies that are kind of overlap the ones that are already in the province or in the Department of Education or whatever. So that piece probably, I wouldn't say that it applies, I guess, because we do we do overlap in a lot of ways. I mean, just by using the travel policy that we just passed as an example, because there is a provincial policy, and this policy was written so that we are aware in the forefront of our own responsibilities around the travel to match the provincial policy, and I would see that this would be the same thing. Yeah.
Yes, Mark.
Just to clarify Jane's question now that I really understand it. The travel policy was put in the format of our current binder because we were preparing to adopt it last time. This policy here was not put in that format yet.
Okay.
So that's the answer.
Okay. So.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Andy?
So to answer your earlier question, do we want to deal with it tonight? I'm in favor of dealing with it tonight. But my comment on the policy is I don't feel we need a policy for the LB, whatever the acronym is. I think it's a precedent that we set to identify all different kinds of students in our schools, whether they be the smart children or those children or whatever you want to declare as the type of people we want to recognize. I just don't think there's already a policy to recognize people for respect and who they are and what they do. I don't think we need a policy for that.
Thank you. Jane?
I would propose that we put this into a working session and then potentially bring it back to the table at our May meeting.
And would you be prepared to putting this into a format that looks like our other policies so we can look at it in that way?
I would, but Carol did the travel policy for us, so I'm not that I want to put any work on her, but she has the template on the computer.
Somebody would do that.
Yeah.
Are you all right with that, Andy? We take it forward to our working meeting and
whatever your pleasure is, Madam Chair.
That would be my pleasure at this point. Thank you. Everyone else okay with that? All right. Superintendent evaluation update.
So a few on the committee. We do have a couple of meetings planned for the first part of May. And we should have an update shortly on that.
Thank you. And we're into public comments. Do we have anyone make public comments?
Can I make a public comment?
No.
I'd just like to invite everybody to the Geary Home and School Bazaar. It's happening this Friday night and Saturday at the Geary School. Saturday is from 8 to 1. It's our major fundraiser for the year. Hoping to raise approximately $9,000 or more. So there's games of all type for everybody, cakewalks and online auctions, open bids, Chinese auctions.
Pushing it.
Everything.
You're pushing it.
Okay,
we're not selling cookie dough either.
Oh yeah, but the cakewalk's just as bad.
No, they're all healthy cakes.
But you're walking.
And his invitation does not mean that you're
Oh, please.
I have a couple of apologies in our opening. Tonight, I neglected to recognize once again that we meet on unceded Willist Hugh or Maliseet territory, and continue to do that as we work with our Indigenous communities in education. I also need to apologize that we got carried away about talking about finding a replacement for the sub-district that Sheila Gallagher was in, and I neglected to, first of all, recognize that we respect her decision, and on behalf of the DEC, I would like to thank her for her tireless and dedicated service to the students, parents, staff, and community members of the Anglophone West School District, especially in the Perth-Andover area. And I have that for you, Carol. You can take time. And I will apologize
for Jane tonight, but she's expecting a baby, and she had to take phone calls just to make sure she didn't need to be at the hospital, so she wasn't being rude. I should have let you know that ahead of time. Obviously, the baby's not coming yet.
I think it will be.
Our next public meeting will be here, well, next door, in the theater, on May the 4th, and back in Woodstock again on May the 18th.
Perhaps a little clarification of that May 4th, you know, this for the public record.
Right. May the 4th, that is our third public meeting on the sustainability of Kingsclear School, and that's meeting number 3. It's at the Tom Morrison Theater at
6:30.
And we're planning it there, so people from Kingsclear will have lots of room to come in. Thank you. Could I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Moved by Mariner.